This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor Mark Murphy.
Hey there, Dave.
And our guest is Barbara Fields, the new executive director of the quasi-government agency Rhode Island Housing. Some quick news that just happened regarding the agency this week. The board chair, Andrew Cortez, resigned. Any reaction to that?
Yes, we are very pleased with Andrew's tenure at Rhode Island Housing. Came and helped the agency out in a transition period. And now that I have been made the permanent director, he thought it was an appropriate time to return more full-time to his full-time position at Building Futures. But we thank him for his service, and I look forward to working with the governor, with whoever she selects to be the next chair.
You've been acting executive director for a few months. Have you had some time to get organized and establish priority?
I'm working on that now, but I think one of the terrific discoveries there is the great team that we have in place, and I'm honored and excited to lead that team.
Now, you talked about the governor, you know, recommending someone to take over his chair. What are sort of the marching orders, if you were, that you've received from her?
I have worked closely with Stephen Pryor and his team. We have weekly meetings as part of the governor's economic development team because Rhode Island Housing is part of that agenda to drive the economy.
There's been written the idea that perhaps in the Northeast job creation isn't as robust as it could be, and part of the reason would be high-priced housing and overpriced housing. Well, overpriced, it's the market, but that it's very expensive and difficult to afford. Do you feel like that's part of the equation?
Yeah, we are here to be a major economic growth driver for the state and part of the governor's agenda to grow jobs in the state. And we all know that an affordable home to live in is a starting point for families. So we expect, as the governor is successful in creating jobs, that we will be contributing to that by getting more homes built and sold and rented.
Over the last half decade or so, there were two housing bonds passed by the citizens of Rhode Island. And the next time a bond can go on the ballot issue is not until 2016. What will you do in the interim? Because they leverage a lot of private capital.
Well, we look forward to working with the governor's team to continue to have an impact on the local economy, to work with local businesses, and to use the federal resources that we can access. Last year, we contributed about $370 million to the local economy, and I always like to raise the bar, so we hope to do more to help Rhode Islanders, as I said, get in a home, rent a home, and maintain their home.
Now, did your experience at HUD, does that help inform your work now?
Absolutely. I was honored to serve in that role and to have a look at the entire region of New England and to learn about best practices. And now I have an opportunity to be in my home state and to put some of those best practices into play.
You're listening to The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. And our guest is Barbara Fields, Executive Director of Rhode Island Housing. Are there other examples in your experience in HUD from other states where they're doing something right that perhaps we should think about doing it or tailor to Rhode Island?
Well, first of all, we have a very strong partnership with HUD. Last year, we managed $170 million from HUD, and I think we're actually doing a great job. So just recently, we reopened our voucher waiting list, and we prioritized this opening for those who are homeless or in transitional housing. And that was a best practice to give priority to those people in our community most in need. We hope that later this year, working with the Providence Housing Authority, we can do a wider opening of that wait list.
Is there sufficient housing stock around for especially people in need who are looking for affordable housing?
No, this is a nationwide issue. There is always a demand to increase the supply for those people at all price points. Our role at Rhode Island Housing is actually to serve people between zero and $100,000 a year in income and to add to the economy. And so as we grow jobs, we need to grow the housing, and we're part of the governor's team to do that.
Now, you have kind of inherited a HUD investigation of how federal dollars have been spent on projects in the past, including that Safe Haven agency in Pawtucket. How much are your priorities affected by this investigation?
First, as I said before, I'll reiterate, we have a strong partnership with HUD, as I said, $170 million. And in their reports, there have been some issues raised about management, and we will do everything to fine-tune our administration because we are vested in getting even more of those resources going forward. And it is one of our priorities to continue that relationship and to grow that partnership with HUD.
Now, one of the things about affordable housing is that a lot of it, and there's a lot of talk about it being in dense, you know, making urban environments denser, and that would be an already built urban environment. So are you going to change the focus on rehabbing existing either housing stock or repurposing, you know, old mills, that kind of thing? Or are you looking more to be building new housing within the urban environment?
I think yes. So we will work with every community from Boroughville to Newport, from Cumberland to Westerly. Our role is to help people get in the middle class, stay in the middle class, maintain that home, be able to rent a home, buy a home. And our money last year on the home ownership side, I know this, we touched 37 of 39 cities and towns in the state. So we will look at what are the appropriate strategies. Obviously, different communities will approach housing differently. And clearly, one of the best practices is to look at transit-oriented development. So can we do more housing where there might be bus lines or access to trains? So obviously, I spent 3 years commuting on the train, and I see that the opportunity to be close to transit might work for many people. So we will look at a variety of options and work with cities and towns to best meet their needs.
How about the relationship between keeping open space and increasing the housing stock? Is that a concern of yours?
Absolutely. We believe in a smart growth approach, and so we have a couple of new developments just in the last year, one in North Kingstown and one up in Boroughville that we'll be looking at, in which a developer might own a lot of acreage, but they only build on a small portion of it, leaving the rest open for bike paths and to have green space and absolutely places for children to have recreation. To look at one of the better examples of open space preservation and housing, there's a development called Sandy Woods in Tiverton. I heard a report on NPR this morning. They're about to build a new library with a bond that abuts its housing, its open space. There's a community garden, and that's the type of thing I think about for the future for the state. How do we best use the assets we have to both build homes and create strong neighborhoods and communities?
Okay, we have to wrap it up right at this point. Our thanks to Rhode Island Housing Executive Director Barbara Fields, the guest on The Bottom Line this time around. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Also thanks to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
Great to be here as always, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon. This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Major funding for The Bottom Line is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward.